You're listening to the Renew Life Church podcast. We hope this message inspires you and challenges you to become a true disciple of Jesus. To find out more about us, go to renewlifechurch.com.
Good morning, Renew Life Church. How are we doing? All right. My name is Kyle, and I'm on staff here at Renew Life Church in Midland, and I'm just excited to be with you. Happy spring break. I'm glad that everybody's here. We're springing forward towards an afternoon nap, right? Just make sure it's afternoon, not after worship, okay? Come on. I'm really pumped to share with you today what I feel like God's laid on my heart, and I think it's going to be a different kind of message than maybe what you're used to or maybe what you've heard from me before. But I would like to recognize that Cody has kind of given us a theme this year here at Renew Life Church, and it's entitled the Year of the Sword. And what we're doing is we're coming back to our foundation upon the Word of God. Not that we left it. That's not the point. That's not what we're trying to say. I really believe that we preach the Word here, and I'm kind of proud of that, you know, in a good way. But I do want to make special light and bring our intentions and our focus back to the Word of God and what I do. And honestly, I've been thinking about it. Maybe this is the best way to say it, but oftentimes me or Cody or somebody else may stand up here and call you to a relationship with the Word, but practically, how do you do it? Is that fair? Like, you may go like, okay, what do I do? You know, because the Bible doesn't actually say just to read God and you will get him if you read him with all your heart. It says you have to seek, right? You have to seek God. And that's a very specific, you know, act. It's an actual like finding and a digging and a looking and a searching. And I want to try to pass that off today if I can, because the Bible is amazing. It is full of promises and corrections and encouragement and instructions and purpose. I mean, it's all in there. It's all in there. And I just think, I mean, if we're gonna say that we are about the Word, then we really need to be able to glean from it, you know, and take things from it. And so let's go digging. Let's go finding, you know. Let's go jump into it. You know, the sword is a weapon, right? And it's offensive and defensive. It's precise and it's decisive, right? You cut something off, right? It's just a flesh wound, whatever, but like, no, it's gone, you know? There was no arm. The reason we get this picture of a sword is from Hebrews. I want to read this verse to you. It's really great. This is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is from the Amplified, but it says, the Word of God is living and active. It's full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's got an edge on each side, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, which is the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, which is the deepest parts of our nature, and exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. What this is saying is the word is very, very sharp, and it's very, very specific, and it has a job. In fact, the picture of that sword, that Greek word there, is actually the knife used for making sacrifice and the scalpel used by the doctor. It's both of those instruments, right? It's a very specific thing. And for us to charge you to be in the Word and have a relationship with the Word and draw from the Word, but then not give you tools is kind of not fair. And so I want to do that, okay? And I'll just say this at the foremost, the best tool, the top answer, the best key is the Holy Spirit. And I've said that before from up here. That was my testimony. That's how I actually really started following God and letting the Bible change my life, is because I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if that's not true about you, you can have that today. All you have to do is ask. Literally says that in the Bible. I know, this is what it says. It says a dad, if a son comes to a dad and says, can I have a fish, that father does not give his son a stone. Gives him a fish. If the son comes to the father and says, can I have bread? That father does not give that son a scorpion. He gives him bread. And it says, if that father, who is evil, like me and my son Jack, he wants a snacky, I give him a snacky. You know what I'm saying? He's like, eh, that's his word. Meh, that's what he says, and that's what he wants. He's 16 months old. Meh, that means snack. I give him that snack. I don't go out and like grab a stick and throw it at him. You know what I'm saying? And if I, not knowing right from wrong often, being evil, if I know how to do that for my son, how much more? How much more, not in comparison, in contrast, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give us the Holy Spirit if we ask for it, okay? This is all for free. I'm just telling you, if you're not using the Holy Spirit to read the Bible and to seek in the Bible, you're going out of it dumber than when you went in. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying you can read these words all day long and you get a bunch of information that does nothing for you. I'm dead serious. It says in the Bible that having a form of godliness but denying its power. Do you know what that means? I know everything there is to know and I have no relationship with the one who actually makes this fruitful in my life. So have the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit. When you open your Bible, don't open it first. Ask the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Hey, will you help me with this? I need to know. I need your help. Do that first, okay? But then, in addition to that, not adding to the Holy Spirit, not in any way, but I want to give you a tool, and that is the tool, the gift of patterns, okay? Say patterns. Say shadows. Look, I'll give you an example. You guys can see the light on my stomach, and if I put my hand out here, do you see, you know, a little bit of a shadow? If it's far away, it's like, I'm not sure what that is, you know? That could be an airplane, you know, whatever. But as it gets closer, you start to make out fingers, and then you're like, oh, that's a hand. Oh, that's a right hand. And then all of a sudden, it's super dark because the hand is there, right? A shadow is pointing towards a real thing. And the word is like that. The word is like that. There is a substance in here, and that substance creates a shadow. The substance is Christ. Right? And so that's why the author of Colossians said that. He said, look, you're gonna have things in your life all the time that you will observe, rites and rituals and things to partake in. Don't get caught up in those. Look at them and see the shadow that they produce because the substance is Jesus. Okay? And so this word, thank you, by the way, this word is not just like some good things to take in and some like zingers, you know, for the devil. It's Jesus. This is Jesus himself. And so that's what I'm sorry, am I making like noise with this thing? I've never worn it before. I feel like I've been transported back to sixth grade when I had headgear, all right? I'm like Saturn up here, it's so weird. I'm sorry. This is Jesus, okay, we're coming back. This is Jesus. And this is him revealed. And you, and dude, we say, oh, well, I mean, I'm in a dry season. He's right here. Oh, man, things just been hard. My circumstances are just tough. He's right here. Man, I just wish I could spend some time with Jesus. He's right here, okay? I'm not trying to bust your chops. I'm trying to say this is what's available and this is what we're going for. Communion is the perfect example. We just did it, right? The cracker's terrible, people. It's a cracker. It's not good, but it's a picture of him. It's the substance is the complete sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, paying for us. And that's why we do the snack. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not to fill you up. It has no nutritional value for you. It's to remind you of what really matters. And so this is what I want to hand to you today, if I can, just that the word is, there's lots of patterns in here. There's lots of things for us to see. Where am I at? Got it. This is a long intro, okay, to this message of we're going for this pattern, we're going for a shadow, we want to see what that shadow is and follow it to the real thing. So the message today is actually on the tabernacle. Okay, get excited. I can see your faces. Yeah, you're like loving this already, all right? No, for real, the tabernacle is pretty cool. It's from the Old Testament. I'm gonna break it down for you. It's gonna be great, but let's pray before we start because I can already sense it, all right? Lord, we just ask that you would just cut through any kind of confusion, any kind of obstacle that would come against us, that would defer us and transfer us away from the path of your word. We want to experience your word, which is experiencing you. And we want to receive from you in a powerful way. We want to trust you. We love you. Holy Spirit, come on, make it real. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? All right. Last week, Cody broke down the life of Joseph. It was awesome, okay? And this week, I want to look at a piece of history that was chronologically after the life of Joseph, and it was during the life of Moses, and it was this structure called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is basically a dwelling place that God instructed his people to build for him, okay? It's a tent, okay? Essentially, it's a tent that has like a little fence around it. I'm going to show you a picture in a moment so that everything's clear, but let me just tell you, this is a thing that they were instructed to build. There's very detailed instructions on how to build it, what it's made of, all the little components. There's chapters of the Bible on sockets, okay? Like, it's like, whoa, okay, we're going deep dive in. Here we go, you know, like, but it's all this information about this little place, and this place was going to let God be with his people. Which, side note, this is amazing. Those people were being disciplined by God for their disobedience, and they were not going to be allowed to see the promised land. These are those people. The people that rejected God's promise of the promised land, said, no, I don't think I want it. Then they have to literally walk in the desert for 40 years until they die. Those are the people that get to live with God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there was a little tent and smoke would come down and it would be the presence of God, and the people would go, God is here. And at night it was fire. And whenever that would leave, it meant God is going there and we're going to follow that. And they would pick up the tent and march and live in somewhere else, and God would stay there with them. What does that mean? It means this: he will never abandon you. That's a lie. It's just a lie. He will never abandon you. Think about the people who probably had it worse in history, knowing that they were never going to get to go into the thing that they rejected and having to deal with that discipline. Even they got to live with God. How much more do we now that what Jesus has done for us? Come on. Don't believe a lie that you are by yourself. That is stupid. Okay? Not you, that lie. Don't believe it. He is with you. He wants to live with you. He wants you to live with him. Roommates. All right. This tabernacle was built to be a place of worship. It was built to be a place of sacrificing. It was built to be a place of meetings. Okay? Zoom calls, live streams, all of it. And basically, what happened was, He gave them the instructions. In fact, even the word tabernacle, the Hebrew word, means to settle down, which is funny because we say that, like, you need to settle down. But God's like, I'll do that. I'll do that with you. It's just a picture. And so what I'm going to do is show you this thing that I drew. I drew this last night. Just kidding. I Googled this last night. And I'm going to walk you through the pieces. Is that okay? So it's going to stay up here. I know it's a little bright. You can put on your sunglasses if you need to. But this is the deal. I want to go through 7 components with you and just kind of talk you through them. And I know this seems kind of weird and like you're kind of like, what am I doing at a book report? Well, sorry. I told you it would be a different message. I warned you. This is the fence around it. You've got the little tabernacle structure right here. It's got 2 rooms. This is called the holy place, and that's called the Holy of Holies, and they're separated by a curtain. Obviously, there's a curtain that is the entrance of it, and that's kind of pretty much it. Now, these are the parts that I want to talk to you about, okay? By the way, Exodus, like the last 15 chapters of the book of Exodus are just for this. So if God spends 15 chapters on it, we ought to be like, oh, okay, I heard of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, okay. So this right here is called an altar, all right? It's basically a huge barbecue grill. And this is where they would make sacrifices every day, sometimes all day, right? And they would come and they would bring lambs or goats and bulls and offer these sacrifices for sin and for the different things that people do that separate them from God. Now listen, I know that that sounds harsh and cruel to animals because they have to die, and that's exactly what it is. It's death. for an animal instead of me. Okay? And that's the system that God set up at that time. He set it up so that, because dude, think about it. Like if you had to do this all the time, you had to go and get a lamb every time you had an impure thought about the lady next door, or every time you got mad at somebody driving, or every time you wanted to smack your kid, think about how many animals are gonna die every single day, right? From one person, much less millions. It's a brutal system, okay? But it's driving home a point. If you don't deal with sin, it ends up in death. And so, in order to save the people, the animals died. I'm not trying to start a Peter rally. I'm just telling you, this is what happened, okay? So this is happening all the time. There's a fire here, and it's burning animals, all right? And those animals are giving their life, their blood, to cover the sin of the people. God accepted that. That's amazing. Next thing right here is called a laver. It's basically a huge bird bath, okay, like a basin. It's got water in it. That water was drawn from a living water source, meaning a river that flows or a spring, right? And it's pure water. It's used to wash things and purify things and cleanse things. And it was for the priest to use, okay? Which, by the way, this whole, you know, little compound here, not anybody can go in. It's not for everybody. In fact, like a third of the Levite clan were warriors who guarded this, and anybody that tried to get in there that wasn't supposed to died. And only the priests who were actually on duty at the right time could go into this part, and it was very few. And then only one guy, the high priest, could ever go into this part, and he could only go into it one day a year on the Day of Atonement. It's very like, you know how, you know, like the scalpel cuts and it's like done? That's what this place is like. It's cutting, okay? So you've got this altar, you've got this bronze laver. Then after that, you go inside here, you're gonna see a little table here. It's got bread on it. It's called the show bread. I don't know why, it just is. And it's where they bake bread once a week and set it before the Lord. It's called the bread of the presence. And I don't know why exactly, other than that's what he asked them to do. And this bread sat before God in this room. And then right across from it is that lampstand there. You call it the menorah. It's got seven lamps on it. It could only burn purified olive oil that had been purified for 8 days in a very specific, like, process. And if you didn't have that oil, you were in big trouble because you couldn't burn any other oil. It had to be that specific oil. And they were not allowed to let the lamp go out. It was lit constantly, okay? After that, you see these curtains here. There's one here and one here. Those act like doorways, and those curtains were very important. They were the doors to those specific places. And let me tell you, that door, like the door to the Holy of Holies, doesn't open, because if someone were to crack that thing open, the holiness of God that was on the other side, like literally, the holy presence of God was on the other side of the curtain. And if you were standing there and you had not dealt with the thing in your life that you needed to deal with, the holiness of God would kill you. Just done. There's no recourse. And I'm not saying that because God is mean. I'm saying because his holiness does not mix with unholiness. Period. That's why we need him. That's why we need him real bad. Okay? Real bad. So you have to, that's why that one guy, the high priest, had to get super right and super straight, and he could go in there one time. And you know what they would do? They'd tie a rope around him just in case. Because in case he got in there and dropped dead, they could pull him out because nobody else could go in there. I'm being serious. It's in the Bible, okay? So this is a real thing, right? These curtains mean something. They are divisions between heaven and earth, between holy and unholy, between what is good and what is not good. All right, next thing is this little altar right here. This is called the altar of incense. It was just a little place for the priest to offer sweet-smelling things unto God and to offer prayers, to actually have communion with God, because it was very close to his presence, the closest that you could actually get. And that sweet-smelling thing was important because this was always smelling like death. Right? I mentioned this first service. The actual Hebrew word for long-suffering, which is one of God's characteristics. When he says his name, when he talks about who he is in Exodus 32, he says, I am gracious and I am long-suffering. That long-suffering is a Hebrew word picture that means to have a long nose. But you're like, what does that mean? It means that constantly he's drawing in this breath of this stinky sin stuff and he's not reacting to it. He's not like clapping back immediately. It's also where we get that whole thing of like, if you're angry, just take a breath and chill out for a second before you pop off and do something you'll regret, right? It's the same thing with God. God did the exact same thing. He modeled that whole thing for us, which is pretty interesting. But that sweet-smelling altar of incense was to kind of help with that, right? Also, and then the last thing is not on this picture, but it's an anointing oil that Moses was tasked to produce, has very specific ingredients, and it was to be put on everything, smeared all over it, just covering everything. Why? Because that's what sanctified these pieces to be holy for God. All right? Am I making sense? Are we good? I know this is like, I'm back in school all of a sudden, but I'm just trying to break it down for you because I'm telling you right now, this is a really great pattern. I think you're gonna like it. I'm dead serious. It's a really great pattern. Because normally, you'd be like, Old Testament, last 15 chapters of Exodus, okay, sign me. You know what I'm saying? Why would I even want to read that? I don't know what it's talking about. I don't like sockets, you know, all this other stuff. Well, this is actually to produce a picture for us. And what's really, really amazing is that these things are really beautiful components of who Jesus is. These little seven things that I broke down for you that I just gave you, and look, there's way more. I don't even have the time or the mental capacity to understand all the things that God put into there. But those seven things, I want to show you that those are shadows that point exactly to Jesus. And so much so that the Gospel of John, the disciple John, wrote his gospel in that order and with those exact things. So that, because why? He's a good Jew and he knew about his tabernacle. And he was like, I see it. And he started to bring it out. So I'm gonna, is that okay? We're gonna do this. We're gonna like look at this and see that shadow get a little bit closer. And I don't know if I quoted this to you, but do you know John 1:1? In the beginning was the, and the word was with God and the word was God, right? So who is that? That's Jesus. And we've established this is Jesus. So look at John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt, it means to dwell. Do you know that it's the Greek word is to tabernacle? It's the same word. It means to settle down. Meaning, Jesus, who was the Word of God, was like, I'll put on this flesh suit and be this dude that was born and lived and like walked with people, and he actually came and tabernacled with us. Well, what does that mean? It means that he is these pieces. That big picture that God had set up, it's actually him. What was the first thing? Do y'all remember the thing that sat out in the courtyard? The very first one? The altar? How about John 1:29? And John the Baptist saw him coming and said of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's awesome. Do you get it? He's the altar. He's doing it in the first chapter. And dude, listen to this. I mean, we sang it. We didn't even realize it, you know? Behold the Lamb. Where's Anna? Come on, help me out. Na, na, na. Right? Who takes away the sins of all. We sang that and didn't even realize we were talking about that shadow, that pattern, that's what God set up so that when people saw Jesus, they went, oh, I'm gonna need this guy. I'm gonna follow that. I'm gonna need some of that sacrifice, you know? What's amazing is the Bible actually teaches us that those little lambs, those goats, those bulls, the blood of those animals could actually never satisfy. They had to be offered continuously all the time. Why? Because we're jacked up. We got issues. And we got to deal with our issues by killing off these animals. It's like, we don't have enough farms at this point. But praise be to God who sent his son Jesus, who once and for all gave his perfect blood. And it's done. It's done. Dude, that's our Jesus. That's what we're talking about. He is the altar. He's covering that piece. He's tabernacling in that way. Which, by the way, tabernacle is a fun word, right? Right, Jerry? Right? It's four syllables. Come on. It's amazing. It's got like an ackle in it. It's cool. All right. What was the next thing? Remember the big basin? The water laver, the bronze laver? What's up, Caleb? John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, which is the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Here's Jesus going, "Hey, remember that water thing? That's me. I'm the good water. I'm the high quality H2O, you know? He's the real thing. You drink that water, you're good. You wash in that water, you're clean. You dip in that water, pure." Right? Well, so far he's 2 for 2. I'm liking this, right? Number 3 was that bread. Remember the table with the bread? John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst again." Sweet deal. That's what I needed, right? Man, and you know what's crazy? In that little moment, he's having this discussion with his disciples in front of the Pharisees and all these religious guys, and they're like, "What are you even talking about?" He's like, "The bread that comes down from heaven." Like, "Oh, you mean manna?" He goes, "No, not manna. Manna came and was gone. Manna gave for a day and then spoiled. I last forever." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Just eat me." And they're like, "What are you saying?" He's like, "Eat my flesh and you will live forever." And they're like, "Are you joking?" He's like, "Drink my blood and you will live forever." And they're like, "Is this guy serious?" He's like, "Come on." And you know what happened? A bunch of people got offended and they never followed him again. They couldn't handle it. They literally said, "This is too difficult for us." You know why? They didn't see the pattern. They couldn't see the shadow. They couldn't accept that the substance was right there, pressing down upon them. We don't need to be those people. We don't need to look at the word and go, "That doesn't fit in my life, I can't do it." We don't need to be people that like reject what he said because it doesn't. We don't like the taste of it. Come on. We need to look and see what the pattern is and believe it and trust it. Incorporate it into our lives. I will partake of Jesus Christ. I will be satisfied by him and nothing else. Am I making sense? It's good bread. It's really good. The fourth thing was that lampstand. Remember the menorah? John 8, verse 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" That sounds like a good deal. And interesting that it's still in order. Isn't it beautiful that he's like fulfilling every single part of it? And that he doesn't go out. That he is the true light. That he chases away darkness. You know, the Bible says that darkness couldn't even comprehend the light. That's wild. That means that darkness is confused by God. That means the enemy, his plans are confused by how good God is. So what does that mean for us? We need to stop selling ourselves short on the fact that the enemy's got something figured out. He does not know. He thinks he has a plan and he has a scheme, but I'm telling you, the end is in sight. Jesus already did it. Hello? Come on, that's way better news than so-and-so got traded to such and such team. That's way better news than the stock prices are up. This is real. This lasts forever. Dude, the end is right here. It's already written, man. Jesus is the winner. Why am I living defeated? Why am I even believing that defeat is an option? Come on, he's the light. Getting fired up over here on this book report. Y'all better watch out. Remember those curtains, the doorways? Look at this. John 10, 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture and good grass. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come to do the complete opposite. And not just the opposite in an equal way, in an abundant way. Come on, people. We have a God that's really, really good. And he is the doorway to that goodness. He is opening it up to us. We get to walk through with him. And that's good stuff. That is way better than just some little tent in the wilderness 3,500 years ago. That's living today. Here we go. All right, number 6, altar of incense. I feel like I'm beating a rock right now. I'm so sorry. I'm just like, come on, here we go. The altar of incense was this place of prayer and communion with God. Remember, it was a sweet-smelling thing. Okay, listen. I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but I'll tell you what they are. And if you want to write them down, you have the freedom to. They're all in John. Chapter 11, verse 42. Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 15, verses 16. Chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. All of chapter 17. What are these? These are examples of Jesus praying and then instructing his disciples how to pray. In fact, John 17 is literally titled the High Priestly Prayer. Well, who was the only person that could go to that little altar of incense and go past the high priest? Jesus is like, got it, that's me. Let me show you how to do this. Let me show you how to have real communion with God and what to say and what to expect. If you ask anything in my name, it'll be done. That's what it says over and over and over again. Like, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done. What stops us? Are we afraid he's going to fail? Are we afraid we're going to make him look like a goof? Are we afraid God's just not going to show up? He lived with the people that were going to die. Of course he lives with us. Come on. He will do it. He will do it. I believe it. Number 7, that anointing oil. This is the last one, okay? I think it represents the Holy Spirit. And the reason I believe that and I see that is because the Bible has shown us that when the Holy Spirit is released upon the people of God, upon the things of God, those things are endowed with power and they transform. They are sanctified, purified, and useful. Just like that little tabernacle, it became useful because it had the oil on it. In the same way, man, Jesus did that. He let the Holy Spirit get all over him in that baptism. And you know what it did? It turned the world upside down. It turned the world completely upside down. Go read your Bible and see. What did Jesus do that was remarkable before that moment? Pretty much zero. I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm saying we got a story of him being born, a story of him being 12 and being committed to this. And then he's 30 and he's getting the Holy Spirit on him and then it goes bonkers. Well, what does that mean? It means what Jesus spent, John 14, 15, 16, even in chapter 20, releasing to his guys was this Holy Spirit because he wanted them to have it because he was like, it's on me. That's what makes the difference. Here it is for you. The Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God, married and having babies that looks like life. It looks like heaven on earth. It's not divorced and separate. It's not one or the other, it's together. That's what we're going for, people. And that's what Jesus is releasing. You know when he rose from the grave, he showed up in that room, one, and he was like standing with his disciples and he goes, hey, come here, real close, listen to this. I want you to receive something. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. Anointed, filled, captivated, empowered. That's what he's offering. So much better than a tent. This is the pattern that God, he set up this tabernacle and later on the temple and put it on display through the life and ministry of Jesus. Now listen, this is amazing. really cool. Like, you know, Old Testament to New Testament. I can see the translation. I can see the tie over. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. There's more. There's more. Are you tired? Or do you want more? Come on, do you remember the Titans? Right? When he's like, what is that thing? But he says, what are you? Mobile, agile, hostile, right? What is pain? French bread. What is fatigue? Army clothes. Will you ever quit? No. We want some more. Come on. I'm just trying to get you woken up. Come on. Are we going to spring forward or what? Let's go. Listen, this is amazing. But I want to tell you something. This is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? Has no one told you? You are the tabernacle of the living God. You are the temple. You are where the Spirit of God lives. So what does that mean? That means that the tabernacle from the Old Testament and the life and ministry of Jesus now applies to me. Well, Kyle, what do you mean? What do you mean? Come on, y'all. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living and holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. This is your spiritual tabernacle worship. You are the altar. I am the altar. It applies to me too, through Jesus. What doesn't belong in your life? Lay it down. Let it burn. Come on. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not worth it. It's meant to die so that you could experience life. You are the altar. Remember the laver thing? Remember the water thing? Dude, John 7:38, Ephesians 5:26. If I believe in Jesus and I've received from him, then out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And because I'm in Christ, I am washed in the water of the word. Come on, dude. We got the water too. This is fantastic news. This is such a great pattern. This is such an awesome shadow falling over my life and making me look like Jesus. Come on, number three, the bread. Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I get to eat this. I get to consume his word, and it's good for me. It doesn't turn into something gross. It doesn't make me feel ugh on the inside. It's nourishment. It's spiritual nutrients for me. I need that word. I receive that word. It's the bread of life. Come on. Who wants to eat a little bit? Come on. Who wants to get filled? It's such a powerful thing because it's one of the few things on earth that you eat and you get to be hungry for it again. You know, you don't get burned out, especially if you let the Holy Spirit teach you, especially if you employ these tools to look for the patterns and the shadows. The light, remember the lampstand? Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Don't hide your lamp under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bed. Let your light shine. Come on. You get to do it too. It's not just for Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's right now in you, through you. Man, maybe you need to shine on you. Maybe it's not even for everybody else. Maybe just stand in the mirror and go, I am the reflection of Jesus Christ. His light is coming off of me. Thank you, Jesus, that you light up the dark places. And here's another thing. Quit trying to flashlight people in the eyes. That's no fun. Why do you want to do that? Be a city on a hill where people go, I got to have that. It's dark down there. I want to go to the light. It doesn't help, right? So don't try to cram it down someone's throat. Just be it. Just be it. You know what I'm saying? All right. Y'all like that one. Note to self. People are jerks, all right? Remember the curtain? Remember the doorways, right? Do you know what happened in Matthew 27:51? When the earth shook and Jesus gave his life, it says that curtain, that veil ripped from the top down, not the bottom up, the top down, exposing the Holy of Holies. We literally sang it, right? Right? Death has no rival. Whatever it is, you know, I can't think of the word. The veil tore before, you know what I'm saying? We sang it this morning. It's real. The door has been opened up for you. And guess what? When you stand in front of that holy thing that is God, you don't get burned up and dead right away. You know why? Because Jesus did it. He paid for you so that you could stand before God and actually have communion with him and be like, that's my Father. That's my Father. And he can actually stand there and go, that's my son. That's my daughter. Come be with me. That's awesome. That's a great doorway. That's what you've been afforded, what I've been afforded. Dude, listen to this. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, the curtain that is his flesh, we, listen to this, we have a great high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, with a real belief, with a real understanding that he has given us access. It's black and white right here, but it's alive. And it's in my life. It's in your life. It's not just removed. It's not just words on a page. It's living in you. That anointing oil, this is the last one, okay? Wake up. This is a good one. That anointing oil, 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22, Luke 4, 18. I'm going to read the Luke one. You know why? Because this is what Jesus said. Grab that scroll of Isaiah, unfurled it out in front of everybody. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's not just for him. It's not just reserved only for Jesus. He's put it in there for us. He's put it in there for us. He begs you, he implores you, join this team. Receive this now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel, to proclaim release to the captives, to bring sight to the blind, to heal leukemia, to destroy addiction, to raise people up out of oppression and into freedom. Because he's real. Come on. I'm serious, man. I'm dealing with the real things of death in my life, and I'm saying, you don't own me. God owns me. And I speak to that thing, and I say, go in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, but I'm fired up because it's real to me. It's real. The Holy Spirit is upon me, and he's changing the world. I'm on that team. I give my life for that. Anoint me with that, God. It's time to proclaim that it's Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. I don't trust in horses. I trust in the one, the Lord our God. My help doesn't come from the mountains. He comes from God. Release your healing, God. Release your freedom. Release your liberty and your truth. You break the chains, God. You break the chains. I broke the podium. Who is our God? Victorious warrior. Look, why do I bring this up? Why am I even talking about all this? First of all, what kind of tabernacle are you? Ask yourself, do you possess these components? Are these things true about you? Because they should be. I'm not chopping on you. I'm not trying to bust you up. I'm trying to say, this is what he paid for. This is what he gave freely. Receive it. Walk in it. Reject the other crap. Man, get in your word and be renewed. Are you willing to do this? The second part is, I wanted to give you this truth. I wanted to give you this tool. Look for the pattern, man. Look for the shadow. Don't read your word just, you know, like ask him, show me what you're saying. Reveal it to me. Let your revelation be poured over me so that I can receive something that will not die, that will not fade, that will not tarnish, that will not diminish, that will not dull, that will not let me down. It is truth. He is the truth. I receive him. I receive him in that revelation moment. Got me all messed up, Mike. Sweet tunes back there. I'm tired of my circumstances producing question marks in my life. Because I don't live under question marks anymore. I believe in the supernatural, and I believe that it's an exclamation point. And I submit my life to that, and I give my life to that. I don't care what the question is, and I don't care how big it looks. I don't care. I choose Jesus, and I confess him, and I know that he will. I trust him. And if I can give that away, here it is. Take it. Receive. Be empowered this morning by the God who's righteous and holy and is available to you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you felt encouraged by today's message. If you need prayer or would like to connect with us, find us on social media or by going to renewlifechurch.com.